Thanks for being with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. And if you're a Packer fan, well, we all have to wait once again to see our team play in the Super Bowl. The 49ers took down the Packers in the divisional playoffs. And the biggest question is, what will Aaron Rodgers do? And Justice Cleveland, maybe he can sort that all out for us. He's the sports director at WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, here to talk about the future of the Packers, give us an update on some other Wisconsin sports. So what do you think about Rodgers' matchup, maybe against the 49ers? Should he retire? I've heard some rumors that he could replace Tom Brady out there in Florida land. What do you think? You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org. Justice Cleveland, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Everybody wants to know what the future looks like for quarterback Aaron Rodgers. What do you think?
If I had to hedge my bets, I guess would be the way to put it right now, I think he comes back to Green Bay. I kind of felt the same way last year. I think things were, with all the animosity it seemed like they had last summer, they were able to work it out. I think Green Bay still gives him the best bet to make it to a Super Bowl. But the Tom Brady retirement maybe throws a little bit of a curveball there, because that Tampa Bay team's set up pretty well as well. So I still feel like he comes back to the Packers, but they're going to have a lot to work with, especially with the salary cap, because he's got about a $30 million hit that he would have.
Yeah. Does he want to retire the same time Brady retires?
That's the other thing. Yeah, I mean, there's that question too. I mean, now Tom Brady's got all the thunder. So, yeah. I mean, why not play another year and then, try to get the Packers to the Super Bowl and then go out? But he even mentioned it last week. Not many guys go out on top. You really look at it. Peyton Manning did it when he was with Denver, and then you can go back all the way to John Elway doing it with Denver, winning a Super Bowl and retiring. So not many get to do that, and Tom Brady's another example of it. If he would have left last year, yeah. This year they tried to do it again, and he couldn't get there. So, I mean, there's a lot of choices for Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, he's throwing retirement out there, and I have flashbacks of the Brett Favre era, because I lived through that in the every year of is he going to come back, yeah. Is he not? So it's very similar to that. I'll give Rodgers credit. He said he doesn't want to, keep the Packers waiting. So he said he'll have a decision soon, but we'll see. Maybe he didn't want to steal Brady's thunder with his decision.
I was surprised Brady retired. Somebody told me that he would, if he retired before Friday of this week, he loses $14 million on his contract. So that must have been a rumor, because there's no way he would announces. I can't imagine him announcing his retirement a couple of days before he could make another $14 million just for keeping quiet for a few days.
Oh, exactly. Not many of us are going to just leave $14 million sitting on the table. So, yeah, I mean, that's true. Well, I guess give him. I'm sure he's got a few, bucks in the bank.
Well, and his wife makes more than he does.
Right, exactly. So the Bradys are doing fine.
Yeah, she's one of those $100 million a year people. Man, Ann in Waukesha will give you a chance. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Larry. Hi, guest. Say, I am not wanting to talk about Aaron, because he's going to do what he's going to do. And he's given us so much joy and so much entertainment that God bless him, whatever he chooses. But we would be in the Super Bowl if it weren't for special teams. Why isn't anybody talking about the failure of the block kicks and the muffed kickoffs and all of that? Why aren't we talking about that?
Yeah. Well,
that's a big reason. They're sitting at home this weekend and they didn't have a chance to get to LA. Yeah, the special teams very much struggled. And honestly, Aaron Rodgers struggled in that game too. But the special teams is the hard one to not look at, because when you have a missed extra point, you have a missed field goal, you have a blocked punt that leads to a touchdown. I mean, a lot of those plays, if those don't happen, the Packers end up at least getting to the NFC Championship game. So there's likely, I can't say how likely it is there's going to be a change at special team coach, but it's hard not to look at something like that and how they had failures all season long, and there probably will be at some point a change in special teams.
I got
Maurice Drake is their coach right now.
I got to believe that they're going to make there's got to be a change somehow at that level.
Yeah, you can't have that happen during the whole season and then have it basically come back and bite you in the playoffs as well. So, yeah, I think if I was going to say, I think there'll probably be a change there.
And thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. You know, Rodgers has played the 49ers three times, I think, in the postseason, and he lost all three of them. Is there a reason that you can think of as to why he struggles against San Francisco?
Well, they've had a couple of those were at home, and I had a guy, you know, tweet at me and tell me, you know, they've kind of lost that home field advantage because of how high tempo of offense they play. They're, you know, they can grind it out on the ground, but mainly they're throwing the ball. Well, when you play at Lambeau, and I was there at that divisional game, you got a little bit of wind going on there. It's extremely cold. It's not the best conditions for passing, and I think they got out-finessed by the 49ers defense and on offense. So, and, you know, he wants to revenge on the 49ers so much, I think, too, because that's the team that passed him up that everybody said he was going to go to in the first round, and then he had to wait for the Packers. I mean, it all worked out well for him, but there's always been that talk of him trying to get revenge on the 49ers, but the 49ers have kind of had his number.
Yeah, yeah. I know before that game against the 49ers, Rick Goslin of Sports Illustrated released his annual special teams rankings. Back to that for a minute. And he ranked the Green Bay Packers at number 32, which is dead last.
Well justified. Well justified. I mean, they had so many little gaffes the whole season that you were holding your breath on every punt or kickoff return, just hoping that they could hold on to it there. And then every field goal and extra point, they had so many issues with that. Yeah, it was one of those years where if it could go wrong, it really did go wrong on special teams. So I think they deserve that grade.
Yeah, and you know, it was you're sitting there tensely, and you know, you watch other games, and you know, sort of, all that stuff's kind of automatic for most teams, you know.
Oh, right. The Bengals kickers kicking 50-yard field goals to win games or send it into overtime, and you're not even that nervous. I think I was probably more nervous watching the Packers kick extra points this year.
Well, so you think Matt LaFleur is going to build up the special team? I'm pretty sure he'll make a change at the coaching level, but I know some teams use some of their starters, at least on special teams, and the Packers didn't do that much.
No, they don't, and it's tricky because, I mean, with this year, with COVID, they had so many guys coming in and out of the lineups every week too. So the special teams coach, you know, maybe his job was doubly as hard, but yeah, I mean, a lot, you can watch the games on Sunday, and a lot of those guys had Cooper Kupp, who led the league in receivings, out there getting punts too. So, I mean, they're putting out their best to their best to get there and get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So I think there'll be some – they're going to take a long, long look. And, yeah, I, again, wouldn't be surprised if there is a change there. He's just had enough changes on his coaching staff in the last week with coaches going to be head coaches, as offensive coordinators. I mean, they've had enough changes going on with that I think special teams right now is kind of on the back burner.
And they promoted – LaFleur promoted – or somebody did – Adam Stanovich as the offensive coordinator for the Packers. Now he got moved up. He served as the offensive line coach for the Packers.
Right.
I thought did a pretty darn good job given all the people coming and going in that line. What do you expect he will do in this new position?
Oh, I think he'll excel. He is well respected in that Packers locker room and around the league. And you could see after he was officially named yesterday, David Bakhtiari coming out and just saying, well-deserved. And I think for Matt LaFleur, it's nice to have somebody like that just waiting in the wings with Nathaniel Hackett taking over as the head coach for the Denver Broncos. And then Luke Getsy, who was another guy, was their quarterback's coach, who they thought might be the offensive coordinator. Well, the Bears went and snatched him up. So it came to Adam Stanovich, and the Marshfield native now has a chance to lead the offense of his home state team. So I think that's got to be exciting as well.
Yeah. And now we have the Bengals and the Rams headed to the Super Bowl. What do you think of that matchup? How's that going to look?
I mean, it's kind of fun because it's so kind of new. You know, obviously, no offense to Tom Brady, but when Tom Brady's been in like a fourth of the Super Bowls in history or whatever it was, or a fifth, of, 10 Super Bowl appearances, it's kind of nice to have something different. And I mean, for the Bengals, that's a franchise. I mean, I remember being 9 years old, 8 years old when they lost to the 49ers in that Super Bowl the second time with Joe Montana hitting John Taylor in the end zone. And since then, I mean, they've really done nothing as a franchise. So for them to get to this Super Bowl, I think that's huge for them and the city. And then for the Rams, I mean, the Rams went all in. They spent a ton of money, made a ton of moves. You know, the most high profile is getting Odell Beckham Jr. when he became a free agent. And, yeah, I mean, they're all in for a Super Bowl in their own city, so it'll be fun to watch.
Justice Cleveland, sports director at WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Our guest as we talk sports with him, and I hope you'll join in, too. I have some callers online. Stay online. We'll be back after we take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Talking sports on this first Tuesday of the month, I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Today we're talking Wisconsin sports, getting an update on the Packers, the Bucks, the Badgers, and others with our guest, Justice Cleveland. He is sports director at WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire, and it's great to have him with us today. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think of how the Packers played this year? Have you been following the Badgers, the Bucks, Marquette? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. And, you know, we have Kurt from Oak Creek online, so let's go there and see what's on Kurt's mind. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning. With all the money involved and salaries just in the millions of dollars, why do we still call it a sport? Isn't a business? Up until just a couple of years ago, it was still a not-for-profit organization. When are we going to wake up? Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Comment there.
Oh, it's definitely a business. We can't deny that. I mean, the NFL is making billions and billions of dollars. And, yeah, it's definitely a business that Aaron Rodgers is one of the best businessmen in all of sports because – the way he has made a ton of money. But when it comes down to it, people, the demand is there. I mean, the demand for the NFL is more now this year than I think it's ever been. And, you know, it's crazy. They had a lot of controversies, which could have, you know, drawn a lot of people off watching. The ratings show it. And, I mean, when you have games that are going to the final kick almost every game, it's creating the drama, and it's a cash-creating machine, too.
They're really, really entertaining. I'm thinking about the Super Bowl. Can you imagine the amount of money? I don't even know what a minute ad cost this year on TV. Maybe you remember, Justice.
Well, I remember it was like $1 million for 30 seconds or something like that, but it's probably either went up or, I mean, that was like 10 years ago. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it is an insane amount of revenue that's going through, not just the NFL, but the networks that pay, you know, all the money to get these games as well.
You know, and a couple other things about the Super Bowl, it was kind of fun to read. I think it was in Sports Illustrated that Cincinnati, the public schools are closed on Monday after the Super Bowl. And I suppose that that's either to drown sorrows or, you know, recovering from that or celebrations late into the night. Either way, in Cincinnati, it's probably going to be that way.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Green Bay, so I was lucky enough to get to celebrate a Super Bowl championship back in 97. So, yeah, none of us went to school that next day either. I mean, we were at Lambeau Field I lived like a mile away from Lambeau Field. So we were there at like 11 o'clock at night after they won. Everybody was celebrating. Then the next day they had the buses go through the town for the Super Bowl parade. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand if they win, Cincinnati is just going to be rocking for that whole next day.
Well, my friends, so many times the conversation comes up too. Why the heck is the Super Bowl on Sunday? Why can't it be on Saturday so that you don't have to go to work the next day?
Because of a captive audience watching TV. That's the main reason. You know, they do it because they know they're going to get the money, because they know that people aren't doing anything as much on Sundays. So they're going to have the people at home. Saturday's the same way, but I don't know if there's maybe that they just kind of want to leave Saturday to the college game and they want to own Sunday. But at this point, we've had games on every day of the week now.
Yes. The last couple of years, so
no matter where it goes, they're drawing ratings. It doesn't matter what day of the week it's on.
Let's go to Brooke in Eau Claire. Brooke, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Oh, so I am absolutely a big fan of Aaron Rodgers. But I honestly feel like you can just see his emotions, his ups and downs. He's upset. He's happy. And I think he needs to put that all aside and honestly be a little bit more like Brady and not show his emotion and play the game and just be there to play.
That's
thanks, bro.
Go ahead, Justin.
Been criticized for, showing a lot of emotion. And when he throws a pass and somebody doesn't catch it and he expects it to be caught, you can see the look on his face like, why didn't you catch that? You know, he will show his disgust. And I think he is one of the more honest people, maybe sometimes to a fault, that we will see in sports. So, yeah, I don't know if he can ever do. I think Bill Belichick had that installed in Tom Brady. I mean, Bill Belichick is the guy who doesn't want any emotion out there. He wants everything business-like. So Brady followed in his path. Aaron Rodgers has always kind of shown his emotions, and I think it comes from he's a guy who plays, wants to be the, always, even though he's arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, if not the greatest on the field. Now, again, counting Super Bowl rings, you got Brady there. So, but he's always played with a chip on his shoulder. And I think that's how, what fuels him is emotion. So, yeah, I think he could at times just, hold back on the emotions. But I think it's at this point when you're 18 years in, he's probably not. You're not teaching an old dog new tricks at this point.
Brooke, thanks again. Appreciate that call. Vivian from Green Bay, longtime Packer fan, she wants to know about athletes and their agents. Where does the agent fit when it comes to these multi-million-dollar salaries? Do you know?
Well, they want to make their money, so they're doing a lot of work. That's a good question, and I think it depends on the athlete. I think. Maybe this summer, it felt like a lot of the stuff that was coming out about Aaron Rodgers might have been being pushed by his agent. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I mean, that's a lot of times they're the ones who are kind of stoking the flames to say it that way, of if there's a little discontent. Rodgers, on the other hand, he would come out publicly and would say everything. He really didn't ever throw the Packers under the bus or anything like that. So I think a lot of times Rodgers, in Rodgers' case, he's going to keep the public profile, especially when it comes to negotiations of, hey, I want to be here. I love Green Bay. It's the agent that has to go do all the hard stuff, the hard digging, and really negotiate with the team. So, I mean, those agents make are a huge part. But ultimately, it comes down to the athlete making the decision. But if the agent can, have somebody back up the Brinks bus, there's a lot of times you're going to go where the Brinks bus is going.
Show me the money.
Right, from exactly.
From the old movie, Show Me the Money. Oh, gosh. Well, I wanted to mention, and we've got some other callers coming on here, but I wanted to mention the Bucks too, because, they won the NBA championship last year, and they just don't seem to be performing. I've watched a few games. They just don't seem to be performing up to their standards of last year.
It's been a tough start. They're right there when it comes to the standings. The 1 through 6 are separated by like 2 games in the Eastern Conference. So it's not like they're going to make the playoffs. That's not a problem. It's just a matter of finding some consistency. And the last 10 games, I think they're 5-5, and they come off a bad loss to the Nuggets here a couple days ago. So I think it's been a tough season, because for a lot of these teams, you haven't had consistent lineups. You had a lot of health and safety protocols with guys that were out for the Bucks. I mean, they had Giannis out for a long time. Drew Holiday was out. And then at one point, Chris Middleton was out. So you have your big three guys who really haven't been on the floor too much together. So I'm not so worried, because last year they weren't, the previous 2 years before they won the title, they were the best team in the Eastern Conference by far. Now last year, you know, they had their struggles, but put it together in the playoffs. I think it's the same thing can happen with this team. There's such a veteran laden team that once you get to the playoffs, I think they'll be fine. But I think, yeah, they've had their struggles at times, as a lot of teams have this year.
Yeah, Toronto's kind of had their number a bit.
Right. Yeah.
And that's concerning. A little concerning.
And you had teams like Chicago Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are in their own division, who have better records than the Bucks right now. And that, you know, that was kind of a surprise as well. I don't think anybody expected them to be as good as they are right now. So it's a little more competition. And obviously, when you win the NBA title, you've got that target on your back, and everybody's got that target for the Bucks this season.
Sarah from Plymouth sent an email and wants to know if you think that Mason Crosby will retire this year.
That's a tough one. I mean, it was a rough season for Mason Crosby, and be it, you don't know how much of that's on the snapping and the holding or how much of that was just him struggling. So, I mean, he's had a great career in Green Bay, and there'd be no shame with him stepping away. Even if he doesn't, you can guarantee there's going to be competition for that kicking position come training camp. So, yeah, I mean, he has had a great career, and he has been clutch in many situations, but I can understand after this season, especially with all the turmoil that went on in special teams, I could understand if he chose to step away.
He's seems like a smart guy. I've never met him, of course. You may have interviewed him a time or two, Justice. He's probably not in the poorhouse.
No. I mean, he's played 18 years for him, too, 17 years in the NFL or something like that. So, yeah, when you've played that long and been one of the best in the league, oh, he's doing fine. And like you said, he seems like, from all my interactions with him, a very intelligent guy, and I think will do well for himself once he steps away as well from football.
Let's turn to Badger basketball a minute. I have season tickets to those games and the Badger football games as well. But Bill from Oregon emailed, and he says the emergence of Johnny Davis has helped the team to greatly exceed preseason expectations. I certainly didn't see it coming. Did you? I thought it was going to be a rebuilding year for sure.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Sorry.
No. Bill was just wondering what you thought about the team.
Oh, I've enjoyed watching this team immensely this year, and I got to watch Johnny Davis because he was down the road in La Crosse Central playing high school basketball, and got to cover him at the state tournament a few times as well. And you know, he was a great player, but the step he made from last year to this year is just amazing, and just shows you the amount of work that he put in. And not just him. I mean, the whole team. You have the veteran gritty guy in Brad Davison, who's nice to have out there as kind of like the floor general. But the guys like Tyler Wall, Stephen Crowell, Chucky Hepburn, Chris Vaught sometimes stepping out there as well. I mean, they give these guys who on any given night, yeah, you could have Johnny Davis go off for 28, 29 points, but these other guys are stepping up and scoring 15, 16 points as well. And that's something I feel like they were missing last year, is it just never seemed like it was always one guy that was kind of having a big night and everybody else was struggling. Well, with this team, you had Johnny Davis a couple games ago go scoreless in the first half. And then you had Brad Davison and Chucky Hepburn hitting every three-pointer they shot. So it's like any other Badger team. They are amazing. When they're hitting the shots, they can beat anybody. Obviously, when they're missing, we've seen a lot of close games as well, but that's kind of the way, as a jump-shooting team, it's going to roll.
Yeah, they kind of get ahead, and then sometimes, you know, a lot of those close games they've had were because they got way ahead, but then they seem to step off the gas a little bit, or maybe, I don't know, they just started missing, and maybe it was because they were just missing. But,
right, yeah, when you're not playing as much post-basketball as – you know, that's everywhere at all levels now. Post-basketball isn't happening as much. So when you start missing those jump shots or start driving in and you can't get a shot off, yeah, you can see leads disappear real quickly. And that's what the Badgers, I think it's been the Badgers since the days of, you can go back to Dick Bennett, you know. Yeah. Those are the teams that they can beat anybody because they can play such tough defense. But if they're not hitting shots, you can be in trouble against those non-conference games that you think they're going to run away with.
I should also bring in the rest of Bill's from Oregon's email, because he wondered about Jordan Davis. Any insight onto Jordan? Do you think he's going to come around? Maybe next year be the Johnny Davis.
You never know. I mean, watching his brother do what he's been doing, and I'm sure he was training with him, he's got to be excited for his opportunity to come next year. I mean, Johnny Davis, you know, if you, you believe all the rumors, isn't going to probably be a Badger next year. You know,
no.
With the way he's playing, he's going to has a chance to be, you know, the best basketball player in all of college basketball. I mean, up for an All-American honors and stuff like that. So I think Jordan Davis is going to get his shot next year. And he was a great player in high school as well. So you know, Johnny and Jordan Davis, you know, not only that, they were great football players as well. So they're just great athletes all around. So I would love to see what he can do when he starts getting extended minutes, Jordan Davis.
Really looking forward to the tournament this year. But first, they got a chance. The Badgers have a chance to win the Big Ten championship. I mean, they've got a tough schedule coming up, but they play Illinois, then Michigan State. I think they still got Purdue on at home. Right. So there's a lot of. I mean, they could lose, you know, the next 3-4 games for all we know. I was thinking Marquette basketball really is shining now. They're 15-7, but they just ended a 7-game winning streak, and that team's played really well under their new coach.
Oh, Shaka Smart has come in and brought a new fresh air to those Golden Eagles. And, yeah, like you said, you just lost to Providence by 2 points, and that's a 17th. Ranked team, and then they got a game tomorrow against Villanova, and that's the 12th ranked. You know, the Big East is tough. Then they follow that up with UConn. So, you know, we were talking about the Badgers having a tough road the next couple games. It's tough for Marquette, but I mean, you get 2 or 3 out of them right now. I mean, they're in the tournament, and you know, for Charlotte Smart to come in there and get them to this point shows you how good of a coach he was. I think people remember him for that Final Four run with VCU, and I think it was a 2012 tournament.
Yeah,
and he was one of the big names out there. And then he went to Texas and had some success at Texas. But, man, what he's done with Marquette in this first year shows you why a lot of people were really high on him about 10 years ago.
And people are high on Marquette women's basketball team. They're doing well. They're 14-5. Some standout players there.
Yeah, and that team has just, it seems like every year, they find a way, even when they lose players, to come back and be one of the best in college basketball. So, it good days for basketball right now in Marquette. I think, you know, the alumni for them have to be enjoying watching this season because you have the men's team kind of back in the top 25 and the women's team continuing what they've done for the last decade.
And we've got the women, Badger women, who they're 5-14 this season. But you know, I've watched quite a few of their games. They seem to be playing better. They're progressing as the season's going along under their new coach.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long way to go for that team.
Yeah.
But Ozalie come in, and she's done a great job. I got a chance to meet her. She came to Eau Claire for a camp, and she has the right attitude. She knows it's going to take work. It's been a tough decade, really, for them since, you know, I think, you know, go back to Lee Stone as the head coach, and, you know, things haven't really done anything in that last decade. So I think for her, she's got to, you know, she's going to be a great recruiter. I can tell you that much. Just talking to her, I wanted to go out there and suit up. I was ready to go.
Yeah.
So I think she'll do a good job holding that team up. And I hope that you see more recruiting in state as well. Cause I think that's kind of what got abandoned for a while is looking at the in-state players. But if you can do that, you can recruit your backyard. That'll help. And we've seen that find success for the Badgers on the football field and on the basketball team as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I interviewed her as well for my show, along with a couple of the Badger women players, and I went away thinking, man, she's got the right attitude and the right personality to lead the Badger team. And the women's, just women's sports in general, at UW have been. I mean, we got national volleyball champions. The women's hockey, now they've had a little rough patch here the last week or two. By rough patch, they lost a couple games, but
right for them, that's something that doesn't happen very often. So yeah, I think, you know, you go to Minnesota, who's your biggest rival, and have a couple of struggles there, which is understood. And now that, you know, all these teams, it's going to be interesting because you've lost some players to the Olympic team as well. So they're going to be playing a little bit with a smaller roster, but. Yeah, you know, they came back. They got a win last night over St. Thomas, and now they got Minnesota Duluth, which is another team that's always tough, and that'll be at home at LeBron. So, yeah, you know, we're getting close. They have about, 2 weeks left of the regular season before they start, you know, the WCHA tournament. So we're getting close to the postseason. You know, it's February now. You kind of forget that, but yeah, we're going to be in the midst of a lot of playoffs coming towards the end of this month.
And the being that it's February, and here we go, the 4th of February starts the Olympics. We've got some former Badger players, I know, playing in the 2022 Olympics. What do you think? Are you familiar with the Wisconsin representatives in the Olympics this year?
Well, I mean, I can give you the ski jump or the Nordic combined, Ben Loomis. He's from Eau Claire, so I know that one for sure. And, you know, just giving you the Eau Claire perspective here.
Sure.
Nate LaPointe and Sis Paulson, who are the equipment managers for the men's and women's hockey teams for the Badgers, they are both Eau Claire North alums as well. So they're probably over there already, or if not, you know, on a flight over the ocean right now getting there. So for me, you know, that's our connection here in Eau Claire. But yeah, you've got some for the women's hockey team heading over there. And I mean, obviously you're going to have that because this women's hockey team for the Badgers has just been so outstanding for so long. So yeah, it's going to be fun to see what that Wisconsin contingent can do. And on both the men's and women's side, I mean, with the men's, obviously the men's hockey is going to be the most interesting, I think, because you don't have the pros there this time. So you have what it used to be, the college guys trying to get a title. And on the women's side, you've got some of the pros and you got some of the college mixed in there. So I think, you know, the hockey is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm for sure. And there's some other sports where we've got some Wisconsin people, as well, curling, for example, in the Madison area, we've got a brother-sister pair that are both going to the Olympics, one for the women and one for the men. And it looks like the men could win gold and the women could medal.
I mean, that is great for a sport that just got, I mean, it's Canadian by nature, it feels, but man, I mean, it fits Wisconsin to a T as well. Because when they're sitting out there, I mean, it's not, you know, far-fetched to see them out there when they're practicing drinking a beer too. So and it kind of fits, doesn't it, in a way? It feels like it could be like a Wisconsin state sport that way.
Have you ever tried curling?
I have. I got to do it a couple times when I was younger in Green Bay at the Green Bay Curling Club, and I was not very good on it, but me on ice is not good in many regards, skating or just standing there. I'm a risk to fall pretty much any time.
I can remember the first time I tried to throw that rock, I went flat on my back.
Right. Or it's easy to go with the rock, too. You throw it, and it pulls you down onto the ice there, and you're the one who's going towards the circle.
Justice, this has been a blast. Thank you so much. I hope you can do this again with us sometime.
Oh, anytime. Thanks for having me. I had a blast as well.
Justice Cleveland, sports director at WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It was great to have him with us. That was a fun conversation with him, and we'll try and get him back and do it again. Well, we'll talk about groundhogs with our wildlife experts on the show tomorrow at 11. We'll also take a look at snowy owls. We have some in the Madison area, and so we'll take a look at their migration as well. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.